We're going to go on this morning in our teaching. We've been teaching on the years that Jesus, it's God's plan for salvation, and there is no other plan of salvation other than Jesus. As people need to come to that conclusion, Jesus clarified it himself concerning salvation. Nobody can come to the Father except through him. You need to understand, this is one of the great problems with dealing with, like, people don't like Christianity is from this standpoint, because Christianity is so specific. Now, you know that people, a lot of demonic stuff, I mean, the Muslims are very specific concerning their religion, but they don't get persecuted like Christians do. Because Christianity is a real way of salvation. The devil ain't fighting them. He's on their side. That's why we have so much, If somebody would have went and killed some people because the Muslim religion said something, they would have said it was an awful thing. the fact that somebody tried to justify these things, we need to walk in the light. Right now, is one of the big things as God has been dealing with me on is concerning the Word of God. Because of this, if anything at a time period we need to walk in light of the Word is today. There is no such thing as a Christian who doesn't believe the Bible. They are not a Christian. Amen. If you don't, you can't have, Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. The Bible says He's the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was in the beginning with God. Everything was created by Him and for Him. You know, people get over and they get into things and they make, well, the Bible says this, the Bible says that. Hold it, folks. You know, Jesus clarified, he said, you can't believe Jesus and believe the Old Testament's wrong. You can't believe Moses is wrong. You can't believe it because Jesus said so. Jesus made this statement about Moses, and he said, you remember, in fact, we talked about it not long back. There was a guy who ended up in hell. And the guy who ended up in hell said, go send Lazarus back and tell them, tell those guys back there, so my brother don't come here. And Jesus said to him, if they didn't believe Moses, they're not going to believe a person being raised from the dead. See, we have a person raised, Jesus raised from the dead, and still people don't believe. They don't believe the Bible is true. Jesus said Moses was right. Moses was the writer of the book of Genesis. Jesus just verified it and said Moses was right. So people who criticize, well, I don't believe the Bible is right about this, well, you go ahead and say anything you want, but you can't believe in Jesus and at the same time believe the Bible's wrong. You can't pick and choose what you want out of the Bible. Amen. That's not Christianity. Amen. Because number one, you'll pick and choose with Jesus too. If you don't like what he said, you won't follow it either. See, we need to settle a fact. You know, James wrote and said, concerning a person believing, he said the person who don't believe, he said, don't let him think that he's going to receive anything from God. You see, faith in the there, we have nothing else but faith in the Word. That's what Christianity is based on. Jesus said to Thomas, he said, Thomas, you believe that there's okay, but he said, the person who hasn't seen and believes, that's the blessed person.
Amen.
See, it comes down, you have a choice. We have choice. We either believe the Word or we don't. Today we have much of Christianity that. And I want to deal with this. I wasn't going to go in this direction, but the Holy Ghost keeps moving me in this direction. You know, if you go over and look at the book, we aren't going to go there and read it, but go over and look at the church at Laodicea. See, people don't preach that correctly. You know that church, those people weren't saved? And you can prove it by what's written. He said, God called, Jesus is standing at the door knocking. He ain't in the church. That church, it started off as a church, but it ain't anymore. It left faith. And Jesus said this, if they turn, he said, this is what will happen to you. He said, you'll sit on my throne. Well, that's where every believer is sitting. They couldn't be believers, so they'd be seated on his throne. He couldn't have said that. We have much today of people called Christianity that is not Christianity. We have denominations and people's groups who have at one time, and you look in their past, they walk by faith in Christ Jesus, but today they don't. They're not churches in God's eye. But they have opportunity. He stands at the door knocking. They have what the Apostle Paul said. Apostle Paul said in the last day, they'd have a form of godliness but deny the power of God. It isn't the denying the Holy Spirit, it's denying the new birth. The new birth changes a person. They deny that power. They have just religion. They have form. Today, everybody's happy with form. That's all, you know. Well, I go to church and I do this. I'm sorry. Christianity is a faith walk and it's believing in the Word. I don't have a choice. Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples. He didn't say, go make believers. Mm-hmm. Believer, a true believer, follows Christ. He's a disciple.
Amen.
You see, through Jesus' ministry, there was always a difference between the disciple and the people that just wanted something from God. There are many people today, even among the so-called faith people, all as they want is God for something they can get. Other than that, they don't want him in their life. You know, I want to live my own life, do my own thing. But when I need this or I need that, I should be able to come and ask you, and you give that to me. They have no loyalty to Jesus whatsoever. See, we need to understand these things. There's a lot of people who claim something a Christian, and they're not Christians. We've become so ignorant of the Word in Christianity, we don't know the difference. We don't know the difference of who belongs to Him and who don't. People who don't believe the Word ain't Christians.
Amen.
We need to deal with this stuff, folks.
Amen. Preach.
There's demonic problems in our nation. There are people who once walked with Christ that don't walk today. And I'll guarantee you, when Jesus comes, they ain't going. I'll guarantee you, just as sure as the sun comes up in the morning. We can't lie to ourselves. And somebody's got to preach the truth about these things and quit trying to act like everything's okay when it's not okay. You know, I sat this past week, especially on Thursday, I sat and did a lot of just reading in the Scriptures. Just reading, just sitting down and reading through Scripture. And reading through Scripture, you just realize how much people have gotten away. How far have we gone? Where have we gone to? You know, we see songs about loving Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my word. He didn't say, if you love me, you can believe whatever you want because you love me. That's today. No, it doesn't run that way. It doesn't work that way. You know, Jesus said, you're going to be his, you're going to follow him. He said, you got to love me more than mom, dad, and all the rest of everybody else too, you know, and your cousin Harry and everything. That I come first. So Jesus said. See, these are things that are not preached today. We throw this frivolous word love out today, and love is a frivolous thing. Like I've told people already, you know, love don't mean a thing till things get tough. We'll find out if you ever had any. We're going to find out the husband and wife that loves each other. You know, when everything's running good, you can say anything you want.
Amen.
But when things were bad, we're going to find out if you really love each other. We're going to find that in 2 seconds.
Amen.
When things got tough, Jesus loved. We don't know about that love. We don't have that today in Christianity. We've lost that thing. And we need to come back. That's why we need to come back to the Word of God. The Word of God will change us. If I want to walk in the love of Jesus, I got to stay toward the Word. I got to walk in faith of the Word so God can work in me. Because if I'm not in faith, I shouldn't expect to get anything from Him. The Word says so.
Amen. Preach.
We shouldn't expect to get a thing from Him. See, these are the days that I've been born for as a Christian. These are the days of soldiers.
Hallelujah.
These ain't the days of wimps.
Amen.
The wimpy Christians are having a tough time. They don't know what to do about it.
Amen.
These are the days the soldier stands and says, hey, you know, it's like Peter. They go to crucify him. He said, I don't deserve to be crucified like my Lord. So they hung him upside down on a cross because he wouldn't even be here. He said, I ain't worthy of it. I'm not worthy to be done what was for him. I'm not, you know, I don't want to be seen in the fashion of him, of what he owed to him. That's, you know, where do we have that today? What does Jesus mean? God loves the world, but he's not calling them to their own life.
Amen.
He's calling people to their death.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You've been called to your death, not to your life. You're called by his own words to give up your life and take his. Hey, good preaching it.
That's great.
This is what, look, I need to preach these things because I need to hear me say them.
Amen.
See, you guys ain't as fortunate as I am today because I'm the one saying them. You need to get them on your voice.
Amen.
You get them on your voice. They do. See, when you do those things by faith, they do something to me in here. There's a strength that rises up in me and in inside of here. I'll tell you, more confidence toward Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You won't get that criticizing Him.
Amen.
You won't criticize Him going on and saying all this other junk today. I'm sticking with Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This is the way we're going. I'll just tell you the truth. I think America as a nation's last call is ended. Don't mean we won't have a revival. God won't move. But nationally, I think America's done. We have too many wimps in common. People call themselves conservative. They're wimps. They should just stand up, but it's darn mad and angry about they ain't. Well, you know, we need to, yeah, this is wrong and that's wrong. What you going to do about it? Nothing. We'll have a committee and get together and talk about it. And we'll call witnesses and say, you know, we didn't like that. Go jump. I ain't calling for a committee.
Amen.
I'm going to preach the truth.
Hallelujah.
And I'm going to deal with what it really is. We're dealing with devils. We ain't dealing with just bad people.
Amen.
We're dealing with demon-possessed people who hate and murder. If you don't agree with what they agree with, they want to murder you. I know two nations that did. Go read the Second World War. Go read over and look at Russia and communism, what the leaders did. Go look. See, communism is the biggest killer. See, today we have this socialism. This is not socialism, folks. This is communism. It is communism, and based is in this fact. There ain't no God. Socialists are communists. You can't find a person who's a socialist and who's a Christian. Because how could you fit into socialism? Socialism based on the government's God. And you will have rulers. And these rulers. And see, we're doing it today in our nation. I mean, we no longer have a constitutional nation. You know, our House and Senate don't mean nothing. Presidents just make decrees now. You know, people want Trump back. I don't want Trump back doing that stuff. I don't want that junk back. I don't want some dictator, him saying whether it's good or bad. I don't want it. But we want it today. We want a leader who's going to control everything. America will have it from now on. It will not change. It is going to get worse. It's not going to get better. But see, we have the word to stand on.
Hallelujah.
God changes not.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Preach.
Glory to God. Like Billy Graham said, the guy came and asked him and said, I don't know if I could die for Jesus. He said, if you don't live for Him, don't worry, you'll never have to die for Him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hallelujah. He's exactly right. Don't worry about it. If you don't live for Him, you'll never die for Him. Hallelujah. See, it's one thing it's about during the tribulation. It's going to definitely clear the floor on who really believes or not.
Amen.
If you believe, head gone.
Yep.
I find it's best to believe on this side. Hallelujah. It's best to believe over on this side. You know, today, I'm going to look at this from a scripture and scriptures. Today we're going to look at, I'm going to go through it through Luke. All the writers mentioned about this time period with Jesus in Luke 19 with His triumphant entry. One of the things that the Lord wants, we want to emphasize this thing. There's number one. What took place here with Jesus and what there's triumphant entry in is the fulfillment of prophecy. And more in one level, it's a fulfillment of prophecy concerning Jesus Christ, of who He is. And this is one thing that's with the church-wise. It's like, you know, we many ways turn these things over, whether it's Christmas or whether it's Easter or whatever it is, we've turned it into more of a religious standpoint and understanding how important these events and things that took place at these time periods. These are fulfillment of scriptures concerning the king. And it's interesting because they had a fulfillment in this time that they were in, but they also, that scripture is going to be fulfilled again in the future. These scriptures are going to happen again. We need to, there's certain patterns of the word, and you're going to find out this. Just like as we look here as Jesus is going to be entering as a king. Now, you need to get a hold of this because we find from a standpoint of Scripture. These are dealing with things about getting ready for the king. John the Baptist was set to get people ready for the Messiah. That's what his doing was. He was supposed to get them ready. Jesus Christ entering here, we have Jesus Christ. The Messiah is on the earth. He's fulfilled. The fulfillment of these scriptures, you could have asked any Pharisee, any Sadducee, or any scribe about what the prophecies of the Messiah, and they would have gave you the scriptures of what they saw happen that day. See, a person who doesn't believe the word or doesn't believe something, you can give him the word on it and it don't matter. You can't convince the person who does not. They didn't want Jesus. They didn't want him. So therefore, they refused to even see the fulfillment of Scripture in him. Yet, thousands of Scriptures were fulfilled through him. Thousands of Scriptures. This is just some Scriptures in one day. But this is one thing. When Jesus comes to town, this is the pattern for all times from Jesus coming. When God shows up, men need to get ready before he shows up.
Amen.
John the Baptist was to get ready because the Messiah is coming. The Messiah is here, people aren't ready. But even in Jesus' ministry, there was the pattern of get ready. But they didn't. It's going to come. Jesus is coming for the church. The warnings have gone out. When Jesus comes, get ready.
Amen.
Jesus told Kenneth E. Hagin in his prophecy from September 2nd, 1950. Told him this. Many of my people are not going to be ready to meet me at my coming. It's all about getting ready. People are not getting ready. The church today is not getting ready generally. Thank God there are people that are, man, they're hooked up. They see. I'm going to tell you, I'm getting ready.
Hallelujah.
That's what I'm preaching about. We're getting ready.
Amen.
If you don't want to get ready, there's other churches. You can go to other churches. They'll just do whatever. You know, go ahead. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a get ready church.
Amen.
What is it for us to reach the world and we don't get ready?
Amen.
What's the point?
Yeah.
There's no point. This is getting ready. Our message should go to people. You know, do we believe we're staying or we're leaving? What do you believe? We'll say, I don't know. Well, why don't you if you start getting with God, you'll get ready and know something.
Amen.
But see, people just keep walking on the same things, following the same paths, following the same stuff, not paying attention. Is it time to get ready or not? If you can't figure it's getting time to get ready, if you can't see it, something's wrong. Something's wrong. So we want to follow. Jesus did. Also, we find, you know, the book of Revelation, like we have the book of Revelation is not about the Gentile. Because generally the Gentile, their door is closing on the Gentile. It isn't about a bunch of Gentile salvation in the book of Revelation. It's about God dealing with the Jew. It's about bringing the Jews back, getting the Jew ready to meet the Messiah. Because when Jesus steps on the Mount of Olives at the end of the tribulation, they're either get in line or you're going. That's what it's going to be. Again, it's getting ready. The warnings, Jesus gave the warnings to the Jews even while he was in the earth of Messiah, telling about that time period, of what to do in that time period, of what it's going to be like, about preparing yourself for what's coming.
Amen.
See, we're living today, people aren't getting ready for what's coming. You know, we have a lot of people, you know, out here, you know, buying food, you know, dried food will last 20 years or something, and are doing all these kind of things, doing that, and spiritually they ain't ready at all. People doing all their stuff to get ready. And don't worry about it. If you buy the dried food and the church leaves, they're going to kill you and take it anyhow, so get over it. You can't stay in that bunker. My God. People have enough explosives to blow holes in the ground miles deep. So get over it. They want your lunch, they'll take it. The devil will take it. It's one thing I learned about the devil when I've served him, is he always kills his people. He's a murderer from the beginning. You follow him, he'll kill you.
Amen.
You listen to him, he'll kill you.
Amen.
He's a murderer. It's one thing the devil don't want you. He don't want you to be in Jesus' camp.
Amen.
If he can't get you in his, even as Christians, he'll try to take you out and send you to heaven so you ain't here causing him trouble. That's what he tries to do with people. But he'll always kill his own. If he can take you off the face of the earth in unbelief, he'll take it. He'll take it. He's trying everything. This is all about Jesus. It isn't even about the individuals. He just hates God. Anybody who's hated God, complaining about God, messing around with God, they hate God. And they can't like Jesus. And see, we need to understand these things about people we're dealing with. See, I was a God hater. Wasn't until I got born again I started liking God. Amen. People that call themselves Christians and still don't like God, they ain't Christian. Amen. Believe me. I have nowhere, I can't even fathom that. I mean, I can't. It don't even make sense to me. Hallelujah. Faith in Christ will lead you to Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God. Well, we have here, Jesus is going to fulfill, there's a scripture going to be fulfilled here from Zechariah. It starts off in Luke 19 we're going to read from verse 28. It says, when he had said this, it said he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. It said, and it came to pass when he came near Bethphage and Bethany, he said, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples saying, go into a village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And he said, and if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus shall he say to him, because the Lord has need of it. Says, so those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. It says, but as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they sat Jesus on it. Now this is a familiar, this scripture is fulfilled because Zacharias the prophet said, now think back in hundreds of years before, Zechariah had made prophesied this from Zechariah 9:9. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. He's just and having salvation. Well, that's Jesus. He said, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So specifically, so this day, this thing, this event that is starting off, starts off as a fulfillment of prophecy. This is the fulfillment of prophecy, Jesus coming. Why is Jesus? Why the colt? Well, because he's coming as king. We need to understand this from a historical standpoint. No one ever rode a king's, whether it was a mule, a donkey, whatever it was, or a horse. Nobody did that. You didn't ever. Nobody ever got on a king's horse except the king. Whatever he rode on or did, this is one thing of kings. They didn't turn around against somebody else who had a really good horse that they rode and they bought it to the king. Right? Nobody ever rode the king's donkey. King is separated from everybody else. You know, you didn't go get the king's horse and go ride on it. You know, you would have had a short life, you know, right after that point, you'd have been gone forever. And you know what? The king would have never rode that animal again. Mm-hmm. They would have probably put the animal to death. You see, Jesus is fulfilling being a king. What he's doing here, he's riding on something that's never been ridden on. That's what a king would have done. A king would have done that. He didn't do that. So he's fulfilling. See, he's coming. Jesus here is coming as a king. Now, this is one thing. Israel don't know how their conception of this and what's going on. They're seeing this fulfilled before their eyes, yet people don't see it. We go on in this, in verse 36, and it says, and as he went, many spread their clothes on the ground. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. Now you notice this. See, it is not a whole crowd. This is disciples. Understand this. These are disciples. These are his followers. You know, they always try to make it out as if this thing coming out and what took place was all the people from Jerusalem came out. That didn't happen. This is about his disciples. His followers understand what's going on. His followers. Everybody else, they're not followers. You understand there's a difference between a disciple and a person. There's many people who say they believe on Jesus, But the majority never become disciples. A disciple is the follower, someone who follows the teaching of whoever it is their master. That's what they do. They follow their teaching. See, nobody said it can be a disciple of Jesus unless they follow his teaching. If they don't believe his teaching, they don't believe he's saying right, they ain't a follower, they're not a disciple. See, the disciples, there's loyalty. There's ones who recognize that leader. See, they recognize Jesus and uphold him. See, we've lost it in many, you know, this is why in the church world, Jesus is only this nice guy that died for you and that stuff. But you live your own life and do your own thing. He's not a master. He's not somebody loyal that you would loyally follow. Most of the church in America, most people call themselves faith people don't loyally follow Jesus. They loyally follow faith messages and different things. Jesus is just a go-to guy when you need something. His name is just something so you can get some. No, he's the king.
Amen.
He's my king.
Hallelujah.
He has the right of authority over my life.
Amen.
He has the right to say, Ed, go, Ed, stay. Ed, do this. Ed, do that. He has every right. See, we've taught, and rightfully so, we taught things that we can ask in his name and all this kind of stuff. People taught. But we haven't been taught the loyalty to Jesus, that he has every right to ask you of anything he wants.
Amen.
He has that right. See, people don't know about that. You know, I found out early. Wanda and I found out early. He wanted right over our money. Told us to put all the money we had in an offering, everything we had in it. But you know what? He'd have a right to do that. What right do I have to go ask him to help me when I turn around and say to him, well, I'm not going to do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
See, we got one-way streets, you know? See, this is everything in life. See, in America, we strayed away from what democracy and free speech. You know, they talk about free speech today. I don't agree with them at all on free speech today. There's 90% of speech should never be said today. I'm even conservatives. All they do is griping and complaining, talking about somebody, nailing somebody all the time. I'm tired of it because it is not. God never gave me free speech. God gave me the ability to speak his word.
Amen.
God gave me the ability to speak his word. See, when they gave free speech, it wasn't from the standpoint, it's like today with free speech. Free speech means you just say and talk anything. If you don't like somebody, you just say whatever you want and just keep up the fight and going. You know, I always get kick out of the conservatives because they're always mad at the media because the media don't say what's right. Why? You give them all the ammunition, you morons. You won't shut up. It's like, and this is both sides. It's just a ram and rod out here in this kind of stuff. But there's no loyalty to Jesus. We talk about faith in Christ and all this kind of stuff, but there's no loyalty to him. I believe it would change much, and it will change much, because I tell you what, disciples are going to rise up.
Hallelujah.
Disciples are going to, they love Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know what? They want to, you know what? I need lord it over.
Amen.
Now that don't sound like a very good conservative democratic person, does it? I want lorded over by Jesus. I need it. I ain't that bright.
Amen.
Where does that leave you?
Free.
You're in the same boat I'm in. You're in the same boat I'm in.
Yes,
we need lorded over. You can find with people. I'll tell you what. The more you want to be lorded over by Jesus, the more the devil will come knocking on your door. Because he don't want you doing that.
Mm-hmm.
He don't want you loyal to Jesus because he's in trouble. With people that are loyal to Jesus.
Amen.
He's in trouble. And he knows it. We need to walk in the light of these things. So Jesus is fulfilling. The scriptures are being fulfilled in him. Things that were said about him. He's fulfilling these things. He's coming as a king. What do we think about the fact when Jesus comes to take the church? You know, most of the church always looks from our side. What about him? Our king is returning. You know, people say, well, we're going to go, we're going to be taken, and we're going to go, you know, sit at the feast, what is it, you know, Yeah, the marriage supper. Oh, we're going to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're going to do that, and you know, all that stuff. Do you think the nonsense is going to be going on there? It goes on around here with Christians? I always do it. This is Jesus coming back. What do you say? The scripture talks about we're going to be judged. He's going to judge us. There's going to be a judgment. There's going to be a judgment. See, everybody says, we're going to have a feast. I'm sorry. Why don't they preach what the Bible says about the judgment, that all of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Amen. Now, there's a white throne judgment that the unbeliever stands, which is they're going to stand before God the Father. But we're going to be judged according to what we do. You think that'll happen before dinner? The appetite might not be so good. Well, we don't, you know, the church is a one-sided preacher. Whatever seems good, oh yes, we're on this. But what about this other stuff we're going to face?
Amen.
There's about getting right. Jesus is coming back. There's about getting right.
Amen.
What about that? Is there going to be great embarrassment? There's going to be great. Says some of them, all they ever did is going to be burned up. He said, but they're going to be saved by fire. That's the Bible. I mean, that's the Bible about Christians saved by fire. And good Lord, I hope I don't want to be saved by fire.
Amen.
I don't want Jesus to look and say, boy, you just made it, buddy. You ain't got nothing. See, people can, you know, Kenneth Hagin, one of his favorite scriptures was the fact where the Bible says that, speaking about, you know, man and man's work, but he said, you know, that, how does the scripture go about building? He says, if it's, unless the Lord build the house, the laborer works in vain who builds it. And he said, you need to notice, it didn't say they wouldn't build it. There's great ministries today that God did not build, but man worships. The Christians worship it. Dump their money into it, and God never built it. Man built it. And one of the easiest things to do is follow principles today of psychology, and you can build big ministries. They know how to use... I've watched the things of psychology for that ministers use to get offerings. I've watched the psychology. They don't use the spirit, they use psychology. They know how to talk to you to make you feel guilty to give. They know how to make things. They know how to talk money out of your pocket. They know how to do it. It's an easy thing to do. It's an easy thing to do. And so we need to understand this. This is why you want to walk, follow Christ.
Amen.
I don't want to get to heaven and say, you know what, Ed, you gave a lot, but to nothing I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
You gave a lot. I wasn't doing it, but. Hey, great job, Ed. What's God saying about what we're doing? You know, people today they're moved by their emotion. You know, they showed you a picture of something that moves your emotion. They'll tell you a story that moves your emotion. Heck, there's Christians that'll give more money to save cats and dogs than they will get people saved. I love to see these cars. One side they'll have a thing about Jesus on it, and then the other side says, "I love my dog," or "I love my this," or "I love my that." And I think, yeah, you love Jesus, you love probably the same level, probably the dog more. Probably if Jesus asked you to give up the dog, that's the last thing that ever happened. Said you'd throw Jesus under the bus so quick. Oh yeah. I ain't kidding about it. It's the truth.
Amen.
We're nuts. We live in an insane world. And that's why the only thing that's sane to me is God's Word. It's the only thing that holds me. It keeps me from going crazy. That I look into the Word and then I look out the world and said, you know, they're all nuts. Why? They ain't lining up with this. Amen. This is the only sane thing going on today.
Hallelujah.
You're against it. You're against insanity. You're just going to be part of the problem. Man, I got enough trouble without making me more trouble. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It'll bring stability to us. Hallelujah. His disciples began to shout and praise. It says, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory the highest." And the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and he said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now I want you to say, Jesus come here. The king is coming. This is the king. The king is coming down. He is the king of the kingdom of God. He's not the king of the kingdom of men. Amen. He will one day come as king over the earth. And you know what he's going to do? He's not going to come down petting people. He's going to come down. The scripture says he's going to rule with a rod of iron. Gee, what does that mean? Didn't say he's going to come down and just, oh, it's all going to be so cute. It's just going to be so pretty. No, if you don't listen, you're in trouble. And there's one thing, there's people who make misery for their whole lives. Now think about this. This time period during the millennial reign, the Bible says this, the longevity of man. What's the millennial reign about? Nobody in the earth has ever lived one day with the Lord. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years. Nobody ever passed because sin brought a curse and God said that man was going to die, would die. The day he sinned, he died. See, he died in God's day. Nobody ever lived past the 1,000-year mark. It's going to happen during the millennium. People will pass the 1,000-year mark. It says that when somebody during the millennium is 100 years old, it said they're going to, if they die at 100 years old, it said they would be a child. Longevity of life is going to go. People who are alive entering into the millennium will live through the entire millennium, you know, some, if they don't die in between, you know. The rod don't get them. But people are going to live over 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. That curse is going to be broken on the earth.
Amen.
That curse is going to be broken. Do you know, most of these people, these prophecy people, don't even know what this stuff's even about. I'm surprised they even read the Bible. They talk about things. What are things about? Whether God's going to deal with Israel during the millennium. He's going to deal with them from nationally. Jesus is coming back to set up the kingdom of God, and Israel's going to rule with him over the earth. Not the Gentiles. See, people don't know what this is. See, there's going to be the kingdom. Israel's going to have all the land. Israel's never held specifically all the land. You know how far the land goes? The Bible says from the, they said in the Bible, called the Wadi of Egypt, actually, that there is talking about the Nile River. See, Israel was given by God the Nile River the whole way to the Euphrates rivers. They've never held it. They're going to hold it then. They're going to hold the entire thing that God gave them. See, Egypt's West Bank, from the standpoint of the West Bank of the Nile, don't even belong to them. God gave it to Israel. They've never held it. See, they hold. Actually, God gave them over the, what today would be called the Suez Canal there in, for the Red Sea area. That was even over on the west side of there belonged to Israel. The whole way into Iraq, to the Euphrates River that runs down through it. That all belongs. That whole area belongs to Israel. God has a plan. Boy, is it going to mess things up for the world because they have their ideas of how to be around. United States has been so messed up, even Democrats, Republicans, they don't know God's plan. They have man's plan. We're trying to make things work here. We're trying to do those things. Get in God's plan. Hallelujah. Yeah, the Lord spoke to me about Netanyahu. Now, God, you know, I don't run around trying to find stuff out like this about this. But, you know, God, I don't know why people say, when God talks to you about it, I don't know sometimes. Why talk to Ed about it? It would be nice if you talk to some of these people who consider themselves leaders somewhere, even in the church. It would be nice if you talk to them sometime. But the Lord came in about Netanyahu. He spoke to me about Netanyahu. And I said to him, I said, yeah, Netanyahu was out. I said, but Lord, I said, it is obvious you brought him back in. And he said this to me. See, we're playing all this Russia and China game. This is what the Lord told me. He said, I brought Netanyahu back in for a purpose because he said, America is looking at Russia and America is looking at China. And he said, what's going to blow up is the Middle East. And he said, they're looking at Russia and they're looking at China. And he said, I brought Netanyahu up because they need this leader for this time. I said, well, you ought to inform You know, are Republicans about this because all they got is China and Russia on their minds? They got China. You know, I think, you know, I just can't, when people say to me, well, God, you know, I don't know, God just don't talk, I can't get a hold of God and this and that. I think, dear Lord, He comes and talks to me when I ain't even. And I think about this, I think, dear Lord, these people talk about, they, you know, fasting and praying to get a hold of God. And I'm saying, you know, sometimes I don't think I do as much as I should. And He comes and talks to me. Following God is more about heart than it is all this other stuff. I just learned a bit of keeping your heart turned toward God all the time. People get tied up in their lives and get into everything else and are tied up into too much. It doesn't mean you can't do things, enjoy stuff and that stuff, but you don't have to get your heart into all kinds of that stuff. Because what it happens, if you get your heart in it, that's all you want to follow.
Amen.
See, I can have a good time. I can go on vacations and do things, enjoy myself. But you know, I always keep my heart turned toward God. Whatever I'm out doing. I've said, because why? It's only God lives in me. I'm a temple of God. You're a temple of God. You're having trouble hearing for God. It's because you have gotten deaf spiritually. Because why would you? You know, I ain't trying to hear from God out there. I'm not trying to get Him. I don't go out there with a little, you know, one of those ear horns in and trying to, maybe I can pick Him up out there and I can hear. He's right in here.
Amen.
He's right in here.
Amen.
Understand that about God's right in here. And He's talking. Sometimes He says things and I think, no, let's listen out here. I didn't like what I heard. Maybe He wants to talk to me out there somewhere. I said, Lord, that is exactly what I wanted. I just He's in there. Hallelujah. But I want you to get this thing. As these people come along, Jesus makes a statement to them because they're acting in line. They're fulfilling prophecy, praising Him. They're fulfilling prophecy. And what do we have? The religious leaders who could quote all the prophecies says, nah, knock it off. Knock it off. No, they shouldn't be doing that. The Messiah is right in front of him. They know all the scriptures, but they can't see the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the disciples aren't a bunch of educated religious people. And they know who the Messiah, they know who he is. They're worshiping coming down. They're praising coming down. The religious leaders of the day. They don't recognize. I see it today. I see people, and I'm really astounded who people who were in tune a decade ago, how deaf they are today. They're deaf today. And so, it's one thing. Was Jesus just making an offhand remark when he said that the rocks would cry out? See, he could, and that's the understanding, he couldn't have been. He couldn't have been. Jesus, we understand what Jesus made these. I'm going to just quickly read into it. And John 8:28 says, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, he said, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing myself. Now, know what he said, when you lift up the Son of Man, you're going to know he's he. See, people are wondering whether Jesus is Lord because they don't lift him up. So they don't know him. He'll reveal himself to the ones who lift him up. See, that's why we want to lift. That's why I preach, lift him up.
Amen.
Why? Because then he reveals himself to me.
Amen.
He becomes real to us. See, he's real to you.
Amen.
Because you lift him up.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He becomes real to you. And he said, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. So in other words, his speech is whatever his Father says. John 12:49, he said, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a commandment, what I shall say and what I should speak. John 14:10, he said, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? He said, the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. You know, Matthew, Jesus made this statement himself. If Jesus was just making an offhand statement, just trying to prove something, then Jesus said, according to his own words, he said, but I say to you, Matthew 12:36, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. If he was making an idle statement, if what he's saying wasn't true and wouldn't come to pass, Jesus is a liar. When he said rocks would have cried out, they would have.
Amen.
See, this is about faith in the Word. Is the Word true? Is the Word true? See, there are people who say, well, you know, I've heard people say, oh, he was just making a statement. If he was, he's a liar. Then he didn't say everything the Father said. He said, how many times did he make an off-cuff statement? Just it wasn't true. How many times did he say that? Just, you know, I'm the Son of God. Was that off-hand statement? Maybe it was, if it was. See, if you want to believe in those kind of things and say those kind of things, see, that's what people, this is what unbelievers do. I'm not an unbeliever. I'm a believer. I believe it is true. I believe Jesus Christ is everything he said he was. And a lot more than he said he was. And we're going to find out. When we get to heaven, we're going to find out he's a lot more than we think he's glorious on this side. When you get there, we get to meet him. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. Jesus went on here and says, now, concerning this, and here's a sad situation. In verse 41, it says, now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when the enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. Now, we read this time. I don't know if you've ever done any study on the areas of what happened in Jerusalem during that time. Read the historicals, you know. I've read stuff from Josephus, who was a historian who wrote about the time period. There's other historians and people who wrote about that time. We're talking about a horrendous thing because really it started off with a siege of Rome. Rome came and laid a siege on the place. So they had a siege going for about 3 years till they broke in through one wall. There was actually three walls that they had to. It was an outer wall. There was two inner walls and that stuff that were set up to the city and broke it into different areas of the city where strongholds were. And when they broke in, what took place and what happened? People without God do dumb things. And the Jews did a lot of dumb things. Their leaders, number one, they started this fight with Rome, and this fight that started with Rome was over. There was different groups that got together and started to rebel against Rome. But see, they wouldn't get organized themselves together. The leaders fought amongst each other. They even tried to kill each other, you know. That's the devil. The devil will get you over doing things. See, they rejected the Messiah, and wisdom left. You'll never find people who don't want Jesus are going to have good wisdom. That'll never happen. That don't happen. Wisdom will leave people. And wisdom left them. So they weren't organized in fighting against Rome. They weren't really organized in doing it. They were all still doing and calling their own shots. They went as far as this. They burn up their own people's food supply, thinking that if they did that to their people, that they would want to fight more against the Romans. Now, honest, this isn't the movie Dumb and Dumber. This is actual history. But I want you to know this, Dumb and Dumber exists. The devil will make dumb and dumber. I've seen it even Christians. They get yielded to the wrong stuff, and they get so dumb, it is phenomenal. See, the devil will always lead you to do something stupid. Something will cost you so dearly. And that's what they did. They started starving out their own people. Because they're going to fight harder. Well, you know what? When you ain't got any lunch, it's hard to fight harder. Mm-hmm. You know, wars is one thing as they found this out. If you want an army, they say, an army moves on its stomach. It is true. You know, in war, you burn a lot of calories a day. You don't feed your soldiers. There ain't no fighting. You need to understand that's how it works. That's just the way it is. You don't starve your soldiers out and they just become tougher. Those things don't happen. You know, your soldiers start getting weak, it gets worse and worse. It don't get any better. But the things that they did, the burning down of the temple, they say, well, the Romans burnt the temple, but actually the Jews started a fire themselves in the area of the temple, trying to keep the Romans out of the area. And in doing so, the Romans took some of the things of the fire and threw it over on the temple. So they sort of started their own problem. You know, dumb and dumber. It just kept, and you know, they just kept doing. But the whole, they frustrated the Romans so much that when the Romans got in, they started killing everybody, women, children, everybody. Jesus said they would. This is what's coming. He wept over them because this wasn't God's plan, this was man's plan. Jesus just told them what was going to happen to them because of the rejection of God.
Amen.
People say, well, God didn't do none of this. This is man reaping what he sows. That wasn't a plan. God's plan was for Israel to accept the Messiah and then carry the Messiah to the Gentile world. And they said, nah, we don't want him. Israel as a nation has been suffering all these centuries because of this. The rejection of the Messiah. America is going to pay a hugely high price. Rejection of the Messiah. You don't want to be in America during the tribulation. Folks, read the book of Revelation. You're going to see death and dying to an extreme you can't imagine. When Jesus returns, a large part of the huge amount of the population of the earth is going to be dead. Even concerning Israel, Jesus said, if he didn't come back, there would not be anybody left. The devil kills, 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 kills. That's all he knows is kill, 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 kill. And he's going to have a lot of killer friends who are going to be take his mark, and they're going to kill like he does. It's going to be filled with it. The book of Revelation is not written near as bad as it's going to be. People can't get it in their mind. See, that's why this is all figurative. Yeah, I believe half these people want it to be figurative because they don't want to face what's coming. This is figurative. No, it's going to be horror. It's a horror show going to go on. Man's going to live with his sin, and it ain't going to be pretty.
Amen.
And it's not going to be pretty. That's why we tell people, you know, as people say, well, people are going to get saved during the tribulation. Yes, a minority. And a lot of people are going to die in their sin and lost for eternity. There needs to be some awakening. You know, read the book. I don't find the book saying, boy, it's going to be a real heavenly time during that time period. I can't find that in the book. But some people try to preach it over to that. It's not going to be. But we find that this is going on down here. This is why it's one thing. See, we see the picture. When a nation rejects God, this is an image of what is to come. You reject God, an image of what to come. A nation can't stand. Eventually, you know, when Rome started persecuting the church, became their demise. They didn't see, you know, Nero thought he was pretty cool, but he didn't realize he was bringing the demise of the nation. He was bringing the end of the Roman Empire. And the people that turned around, then the pagans, people worse than they were, came in and did awful things in their wars to Rome. That's why, follow God. Follow Jesus. Hallelujah. It's one thing about you and I, no matter whether we're here when Jesus comes or we leave beforehand, if I die beforehand, I go to be with Christ, which is far better. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. My end's going to be good. Don't feel bad or sad. I tell you, don't cry at my funeral. Don't you ever dare cry at my funeral, because it would be a stupid thing. I'm going to be happy. If I'm serious, I would just be happy. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm up in heaven. Oh, I had to come here. I wanted to be down there with the rest of the jerks. Come on, let me. Hallelujah. We ought to part be with Christ.
Amen.
We want to look what Jesus does it for here. And here's one of the things that we have in verses 45. It says that he went to the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Again, here we see the temple. We look today, we're the temple. We're the temple of God.
Amen.
What have we made the temple? You know, in other words, we need to understand this about our own human spirit. What are we putting into it? You know, we have today, as you know, we have, you know, God started off the faith movement. God teaching in faith was right. That was a move of God. But see, people became today, they're buying and selling. I mean, you go into we go into churches, and my God, today they have their bookstores are like a shopping center. They selling everything under the sun. You know, making money. The church has become a place of making money. Hillsong Church. You know, they got worldwide known in churches springing up out of there, and I mean, they're in huge trouble and that stuff. They're leaders, and the guy that started it. I was reading an article about it. They said that because now they're in all kind of trouble and that stuff because. Spending money like the leaders were just, they said they would, what did they say? The Kardashians would have been ashamed to see how much money these ministers took and spent and did all kind of stuff. That's what he said. That was in the article. They said what they did. And a lot of the money was illegally used, so now they're down in Australia, the government's after for taxes and that stuff. There's going to be enormous fines and all kind of stuff. There's all kind of things. And the church were, why? Well, you know, they started off believing faith. See, faith, we're supposed to live this grace life and have everything and live up. I'm just going to tell you this thing. Brother Hagin warned again ministers against these lavish lifestyles. He warned them. You can't go do that with in and out, ending up to be a love of money. You're not going to go to that place. You've got to watch that. I've watched even among businessmen and that stuff who understand this. You know, you can get a lot of money, but you got to watch how you pamper yourself. I've watched Christian businessmen. They wouldn't go to, you know, a certain extent, so they wouldn't go to. Oh, they have the money to do it. But you need to be very careful about yourself because after a while, everything's run off that. See, today everything's run off. The love of money is the root of all evil. And it is. God didn't give me faith so I can just live a luxurious lifestyle and have everything for my flesh to have everything that I want. You know? This is me personally. I don't see why some guy wants a 40-bedroom house and a thing, because, dear Lord, I mean, I don't like taking care of the one. See, well, you can afford to have people take them. But what's the point? Is it just to have? It becomes a problem. Just to have. Well, what's it for? I mean, what is it? Usage? Having stuff just to have stuff just don't make sense. Just to have things. What is it? You know, why do I need 20 Ferraris sitting in a place somewhere and that stuff and say, well, this is my investment. Well, you never sell your investment. Then it wasn't an investment. It was of no value. This is about lust of something, having a thing. See, and you have to know that. See, there's some guy, he'd have 40 of them, and tomorrow he'd go sell them. If he started liking something else, he'd just sell them off, and he'd go to something else. See, there's a total difference in it. But these people, they can't get rid of it. I have this, and I have this thing, and I got to have these things. And these things become important. And the more things I have, and the more it grows, and it gets really sick. It gets really sick. They call it investment. Well, you don't ever touch. It's not an investment. It's worth nothing if it's not sold. It isn't worth anything until it's sold. You can say whatever you want, but it's not worth anything. $1 million in the bank ain't worth nothing to you if you never want to touch it. Well, what worth is it? No, I want to touch it. I want to hang on to that. Someday I might need it. No, you'll probably die and the kids will blow it in 27 minutes. How many businesses today are like that? Good businesses. And a guy has a great business. His kids don't want it because it requires work to do it. And so as soon as daddy and mommy die, it's like, let's sell that thing. And we take the money and run. That's what they do. You know, that's what happened with false craft. False craft, God built the false craft business and all that stuff. And it's owned by the Chinese today. But anyhow, the kids didn't want it. Sell that thing off. All kind of businesses have happened that kind of thing for them. Loads of them have had, you know. You know, take the money and run. You know, Walmart did that with his kids. You know, his kids don't run that business or have anything to do with it anymore. They might own some stock in it, but... And it's actually become a woke business. People don't realize that. It's involved in its giving into a lot of crazy stuff. It's been into the homosexual stuff and all that kind of stuff. It's been moving into it and that stuff. Well, you know who I blame for that? Sam Walton. Sam Walton was the problem. Their daddy. You know, people talk about Sam Walton and all his money and God blessed his life. Sam Walton didn't tithe. Sam Walton said giving was, I give people jobs, that's my giving. He trained his children after him. Christians used to listen, when I came in the kingdom, I used to listen to all these big name money preachers. They'd always bring up Sam Walton as a guy. That, well, see, God wants to believe he's a Christian. Yeah, when's he going to act like it? What is his heritage when his children turn out heathen? Mm-hmm. What is it? What is it? Is this what it is? Is this, you know, and that's why I say money is a strange thing. And the Bible warns us, is keeping that in the right place. Because it is a strong desire to take you away from things that are right. You're going to have a strong desire. It ain't the money that's bad. It's about, we don't bring our flesh under. You know? Sam Walton with billions of dollars and he don't tithe? I'm giving people jobs? Well, what if they all acted like him? See, well, I pay taxes. My taxes go to employ government employees. So I guess I shouldn't tithe, huh? Because I got employees out here. I'm making jobs for people. And the government turns around and takes my tax dollars and gives it to businesses. Oh, yeah. Gives it to banks. Gives it to all kinds of stuff. I'm in the business, man. I'm keeping that money. I'm an employer. You ain't a cat. Folks, we all got a lot of investment we get nothing out of. I tell you. Oh my. Hallelujah. But Jesus went in, he's cleaning out the temple. If you go over Matthew, Mark and Luke write about these things, and some of them write a little bit more extensive about this, about him making a whip and driving out. This is Jesus' second time of going to the table. The first time he went in the temple was when his ministry started, and his first time he went Passover, when he started his ministry, went down to Jerusalem at Passover and did it then and ran the people out. Well, we know it didn't do any good. Because here they are, they're back. Why? Hey, we're making money. And that's what this is all about. It was making money in the church. Buying and selling to make money for the temple. Buying and selling to make money for the temple. They're down there. They have money changers this. People coming in to Passover from all the other countries. It's just like when you go to, did you ever go to another country, you had to change money, you know? That's what they're doing. But what they're doing there, see, they're coming to give an offering and do their things. They're coming there, the money changers. They got to buy the temple coins to go in. And they are charged to do it. They're charged that they're making money off the people. The people come down because God had told Israel, you know, when you come down to the temple, you can come down and don't have to bring your sheep or goat or whatever you're going to offer sacrifice, whether it's a bull or whatever you're going to do. You don't have to bring it. You can come to the temple, down the area and buy it. So, instead of coming down and offer around to the people, they found out, no, we're going to do this thing here, that we're going to make money for the ministry. Yeah. And they started charging people more for sacrifices than what they paid for them if they went out on the open market. And all they had to do is see the priest. This is a real good. See, the priest determines whether the sacrifice is good or not to find out if it's clean to hold it. So you don't buy it from them. You probably won't get it into the temple to be sacrificed. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Oh. You got to buy my prayer shawl. We got one out here, I tell you. Don't come wearing yours. You got to have this one. You got to buy this. See, you need my study Bible. Did you ever see these study Bibles they have up for ministries? You know, the guy might write a couple pages in it, but it's the same Bible, the same study Bibles that you go out and buy in these other places. They have, you can look them, the same references, the same stuff that's in other guys. Yes, but it's worth $50 more because it's coming to me. And then I watch a big name minister. You stand and knock all these other ministers about stuff. Went to one of his meetings one time. One meeting and done. Went to his meeting. And you know what? If you buy his Bible for $50 more, he'd autograph it for you. Oh, I'll tell you what. That really makes people love Jesus. $50 for... I said, man, $25 Michael Jordan would have signed for me. I'd rather have Michael Jordan's than his. Because Michael Jordan is worth more. His ain't worth spit. Folks, this is good preaching. You see, this stuff fits us today. It is today. And the church makes it into all this religious things. But hey, I don't want to do what they did. I want to recognize the Messiah. The Messiah's come. He's come. Hey, the Messiah is talking today. Amen. He's sending out warnings that people are not listening. Hey, we have an ear to hear, don't we? I want to hear. I want to know. I want to know what he's saying. Hallelujah. I don't want to be caught in Jerusalem when things turn sour. I don't want to be there. I mean, what a horror show. You know, whoever wasn't killed, most of them were taken and sold off into slavery. The Romans took them all, sold them all out into slavery. So they all went out. Most of them were hauled out in the world to other nations. Gone forever. Out there. And I don't want to go that road. Hallelujah. Praise God. But it's, now I want you to see this. He said that the house of God was a house of prayer. Now listen when it goes on. Verse 47 it says, and he was teaching daily in the temple. He said, but the priests and the scribes and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him. He said, and were unable to do anything, for all the people were attentive to hear him. Now, I want you to see this because the speaking here is, he was in it. He said it's a house of prayer, but we see this. How do we view concerning prayer? Because found out he didn't just go in there and just pray. He taught. See, when we think about prayer and praying and everything, you know, we're sitting here today, listen, you know, in a, we're magnifying Jesus today. This is, prayer isn't something you just do all the time, asking God for something, doing something like, we think about prayer in that manner. But that's not prayer. We found out Jesus said this is a house of prayer, and he's teaching in it. See, the house of prayer you can teach. It's hard to teach people don't pray. You can't teach. Why? Holy Ghost don't reveal anything. They wouldn't know. They walk and live in the flesh. See, the house of prayer. See, that's why we as individuals, see, we're the house of prayer now. We are. It's not a building. We are the house of prayer. See, I always look at the fact, am I living like a house of prayer? Am I doing that? Am I keeping things keen on the inside so I can hear? Am I doing that? That's what we need to do. That's what the house of prayer is. The house of prayer isn't reading people's commentaries and doing all kinds of stuff. The Holy Ghost, see, we have the teacher lives in us. We're the house. This is what I love about it, because, you know, God can talk to me. God can talk to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, it's all changed with this. We're the carriers of God, folks. Wherever you go, the temple of God. I mean, God is there. You know, I hear people, I mean, over the years, people come to me, and we're going to go do something. Pray God will be with us. They say those things, and when they say it, it makes me cringe. And I say, I always do say, you know, so I'm a troublemaker. I just always say, aren't you saved? Well, yeah. Well, why are you asking God? Isn't God with you? God lives in you. Even when you're dumb, he goes with you. He went to some of my dumb stuff. But he didn't say, Ed, you're so dumb. You know, he didn't leave me nor forsake me. God got me out of some of my dumb. Because you know what, God is with us and living in that knowledge. You know, that is a deeper knowledge if people get it than how to believe God for money, how to believe God for healing, how to believe. If you can actually get a revelation, God living in you, the rest of that stuff's pretty much icing on the cake. Just, I mean, but I'm going to tell you, God in you is the cake.
Amen.
You know, this church at Corinth got a lot of trouble, mess up going on, and they're in the flesh. Paul said, don't you know that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God's in you? You see, when you're around people and they say they're a Christian and they're nutty as a fruitcake and that stuff, well, if they are a Christian, they don't know God's in them. They have no clue. Because anybody has a clue God's in them, they ain't nutty and a fruitcake. They live in the knowledge of God in you. See, it's one thing. You can't live with the knowledge of God in you and disrespect Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can't do that. The knowledge of God in you. See, it's one thing against me. I don't care what I do or whatever it is. I can't deny God in me.
Amen.
He's always right. Mm-hmm. He's always right. He's inside of me. I can get over and get a little flaky, but God's in me. I'll never justify my flakiness.
Amen.
I can't, because I'm going to have to lie to the God in me by saying it.
Amen.
I can't justify walking outside the Word.
Amen.
I can't do it. Why? Because if I do, I know God's in me. I know He hears me. He ain't sitting out in a throne 500 billion light years away or something.
Amen.
See, I know, so I can't deny. I never get, if I mess up, I just get straight with God immediately and say, you know, I'm a knucklehead. I messed up. I'll just tell him. I talk like that to him. Say, yeah, Lord, I was a knucklehead. I just did stupid.
Amen.
I don't justify myself. I don't try to, people do this all the time. I do something wrong. Yeah, but this happened or that happened. Say, yeah, you don't know God's in you or you wouldn't be doing that.
Amen.
No, I'm out of line. God's in me. I'm not going to try to justify stupid. Why? He can easily forgive stupid. But if you hold on to a lie, you're going to live with it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See, this is why these revelations, you know, God's coming into town. God's going in the temple. God's going in the temple and cleaning it out, and man's ignoring it. God's going in. And see, we're living in the day the same bells are ringing, folks. The same, it isn't different. We're not living in it. It's the same thing. Why? The Messiah's coming.
Amen.
And after He takes the church, and in a short period of time, He's going to come and set up His kingdom. And it ain't going to be pretty when He ascends on that one. And we need to warn people. We need to tell people, hey, there's judgment coming.
Amen.
There's judgment coming. I will, you know, I don't know when this is going to happen. The Lord spoke to me back into, well, it goes back 2001. He spoke to me about, and I had a vision. The third started off in June. When in June he made the mention to me, he said, judgment's coming. Warning concerning judgment. And I see it. See, we're dealing, this increase of evil going on in America is judgment. God's pulling His hands off. People are reaping what they sow. See, this is what happens. See, for a long time, when God holds His hand on something, even when people are doing evil, sometimes they just seem to get away. Things are really working nice. Do you notice how things ain't working nice? They're just, things are getting worse. It's judgment. And this is what He said to me. He made that statement. He said, there's judgment coming. And when he said it to me, see, I wasn't being Mr. Spiritual at the time. I hadn't fasted and prayed for 4 days, and I hadn't, you know, was doing that. I just got up out of bed, and I was just in the morning. I ate some breakfast and stuff, and I went into the bathroom to shave and to do some things. And I went in there, and all of a sudden, just as clear inside of me, right in here, judgment's coming. And it just, I thought about it for a while. I thought, judgment's coming. And I said, Lord, what is this about? What's this about? And then He came up to me, and this came up. They will call on me, and I will not answer. They'll call on me. You know, you need to understand this. God in His mercy will call people and call people and call people, but He will eventually get to the point where He will not respond to individuals. The patterns, go read in the book of, back in the Old Testament. God would move and move. Just like with Jeremiah. See, I always wonder why God had me took me to Jeremiah when I first got saved. Why'd you go there? Because why? I'm living in Jeremiah's day. And we're living in the day when Jeremiah, God called and called and finally said, they're going to call. He told Jeremiah, you tell them. They call, I ain't going to answer. I've called them. They refused and they refused. This is why we're living in a very dangerous time spiritually. See, people think they're getting away with things. It might seem like, you know, there's people in this nation, they think they got the upper hand, they're going to do. They don't realize the danger that they're in. They might be at the place God will never call them again. And they're going to be lost for eternity, forever without Christ. God will get tired of warning and get tired. We don't know. We don't ever deal with that kind of love. But you know what God's interested in? God's interested in protecting the righteous. America is in the business of protecting the wicked. And many Christians even do it. Protecting the wicked and protecting the wicked and protecting the wicked and could care less about the righteous. They'll throw the righteous to the dogs as soon as they can. They let their children do heathen, let it go on and on and on and on and never come to a place to judge. Say, no, you can't do that anymore. And the reason you can't do it is because I love you. I don't want you to go to hell. I can't keep helping you go to hell.
Amen. Preach.
Judgment. Well, he said judgment's coming. I didn't know what it was about. Now, I just want to say this to you, because I turn around in August. In August, again, minding my own business. I say, if you want any of this kind of stuff to happen to you, you have to be in my bathroom in the morning when I'm shaving and stuff. I guess, I don't know why, but it seems, in the morning, I don't get fussing and doing a whole bunch of stuff. When I get up in the morning, my focus, I'm not thinking about, 47 things I have to do today. I get up in the morning and I'm usually just, I try to keep myself, a little bit of the quiet side. I get up, I want to know if God's saying anything. I want to stay over in that area. Don't get so tied up into things so right away in the morning, because you might have an agenda and pass God's.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that? Glad to find out. I thought I was the only guy that used to do that. Because, sometimes I can have a list of, I got to get this done, this done, this done, this done. And I get tied on that and I don't pay attention. There's something that if I would do it, would be a real blessing. Some days God just wants you, why don't you go sit down and throw your list away? God may tell you, he's had me dead ready. Hey, don't get so tied up today. Sit down and relax. See, I got a lot that I want to do, Well, sometimes he wants to talk, but anyhow, this thing came up about judgment again. Judgment. And I heard these words then, earthquake. Well, I did. First I didn't know if it was a real, was going to be, earthquake or, just a shaking, maybe there's something going on. But then I had this revelation. I saw this. It was as if I was like way up over looking at the United States down in south central United States, looking down by the Mississippi River. You could see, part of Texas. I could see like Louisiana. I could see Mississippi generally, like Arkansas. Can see those down in that area. And I was way up high, I'd have been thousands and thousands of feet in the air. Like I was looking down at this, and I looked down at it, and then these words came. The Mississippi River will change its course. So there's going to be a major earthquake. Now people say, well, when's it going to happen? I don't know. He didn't say. So I don't know if it's here when the church is, before the church leaves, or after we leave. I don't know. I'm not prophesying that because he didn't tell me. He just showed it to me, and he said the Mississippi River will change its course. So it's going to be a devastating enough, New Orleans ain't going to be a port anymore. So something's going to happen that's going to change that area of the country. Now people say, why is that area? What, have they done something so wicked? No, sometimes stuff just happens because America, they have bad people everywhere. It just happens in certain things and places. Say, why? I don't know. You talk to him about that is why that happens. But to have an earthquake, to that devastating standpoint, it's going to be some major, major things is going to happen. But I'll just tell you this. Don't go tell people I said it's going to happen before, and here's next year or something, because you do. All liars are going to be in the lake of fire. So I didn't say that. So don't go say that. I don't know when. He didn't tell me anything about it, but I just know this. See, judgment's coming. They're going to call on him and he's not going to answer. They're not going to stop these things from coming. More things are coming on. Not just America. He's showing me about the country that I'm living in. He's showing me these things here with this. But you know, God gave me a word and I'm not going to make a sentence out of it. I ain't going to do that. Unless he tells me anything else about it, I don't know. You know, this is the first time I ever told it to a group of people. There's only one or two people I ever mentioned that thing to. I've never, you know. But the Lord told me to mention it. And, because things are coming on. And see, I believe God is showing us, not just from our standpoint to know something, it is to warn people, judgment is coming. It's going to get severe in America. It's going to get severe in this nation. It's going to see, Paul wrote in Romans 8 chapter, he said about the earth, it's shaking. He said, it's shaking, it's quaking. This whole thing is about the redemption of the sons of men. The earth is convulsing. See, people say, you know, we have this, they call the ring of fire, you know. Over in the Pacific, it runs out from, you know, up along Asia, comes the whole way down along, you know, from Alaska, runs the whole way down through California and all that stuff. There's big earthquake areas. Those places, those areas are loaded with volcanoes and earthquake areas. That's loaded. It's called the Ring of Fire. It's not the only one. I mean, we're sitting in the things. This Yellowstone National Park is sitting on probably one of the largest volcanic actions in the world. They estimate if that thing would blow, that... it would probably darken the planet for a number of years. It's so large. That a good portion of the state wouldn't be around. That's their state wouldn't be around anymore. It would blow up in the sky. See, I think really, I may remember Mount St. Helen. I forget, Mount St. Helen, when its initial explosion, I forget how many square miles, not just a square mile, cubic miles of dirt were blown into the air. When you talk about cubic mile of dirt, I forget how many said was blown into the air on one initial explosion. Now, how many of you have ever been there? Did you ever go out there? I was there. That explosion was so great that it flattened trees on an opposite side of the mountains. It sits in an area and there's mountains that run like this. And, I mean, they're high. They go up, come down. That explosion actually flattened the trees down away on the opposite side of the mountains. I mean, it's phenomenal. I mean, Hiroshima was nothing compared to that explosion. See, we're living in days, we're living on the edge of these things. We're at this point in time, and people see the earth is sick of sin. The earth is. The earth does not want to make this place livable for the sinners. There's no way environmentalists can stop it because their sin is making it degrade. And you know what? The earth, it says it wants to vomit them out. Everything God created is alive to Him. It may not be alive to man, but it's alive to Him. And it responds to Him. Man's sin is called the cause, the degeneration of all that's going on. Sin caused it. There's only one thing that fixes it. Righteousness. It's the only thing that'll fix it. There's only one way to get that. That's Jesus. Aren't you glad you got Jesus? I'll tell you, you ought to be so happy you're saved. You should be so happy that you're a child of God. Hallelujah. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. You've been redeemed from the wrath of God. But think about all the people who are not redeemed from the wrath of God. It's a horrible thing to think of. See, we need to tell people, you know, one way or other, we're going to leave this earth. One way that everybody leaves this earth. I don't care if it would somebody say, well, it won't be 50 years till Jesus comes back. People are going to leave the earth. And they're going to go to one place or another.
Amen.
They're either going to go to glory or they're going to go to torment. One of the two. There's not purgatory. I'm sorry. Purgatory ain't there. I'm sorry. It's not there. You can't get salvation by works, but you go and fix all your problems, and then we'll see you. Then you maybe get to go to heaven, you know. And sorry, nobody can pray you into heaven once you leave. That'll never happen. All those things are unscriptural. They're not in the Bible. The Bible never had them. But we need to be telling people, you need to get ready. See, people are going to like to hear this. But I'm going to tell you what, if they don't get ready, and they were told to get ready, and they don't, they're going to hear it. And they're going to wish they listened, but the door is closed. The door is closed. And the door will be closed. You know, there always comes a day there's a last call. And we are living in a day of a last call. And the more men reject the call of God, the further they get away. You don't want to keep saying no. You don't want to keep saying no because one day you remember to get another invitation. I'm so thankful. God awakened me because of what I was going to do to my family. My life of sin, my life of rejection of Christ was leading my family to hell. These people don't realize out here, their rejection of Christ is trying to drag other people off. Hallelujah. Our job is to warn. Our job is to tell.
Amen.
Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, said we're supposed to invite people to go with us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Where do you believe you're going?
Hallelujah.
Put out an invitation.
Amen.
Let them know. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank God Jesus is our King. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We believe on Him. You're sound. You're saved. You're kept by God. Hallelujah. Get that in yourself. Make that a reality in you. Get settled in the fact that the Word of God is true and what it says about you. This is how you reach the world. You reach the world because you're sure. You're not reaching. You can't reach people on your guesses and, well, I believe it's like this. I really don't care what you believe. Tell me what God said.
Hallelujah. Preach.
People say, well, I believe this. I don't care. Is your beliefs tied with God? Let's tell them about Jesus. This is what Jesus said. Hallelujah. This is what God said. See, the Word, the life is in the Word. The power is in the Word. See, my testimony of Christ has to be in line with the Word. That's where its power is. It's in what God does. Hallelujah. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be you don't need to be a theologian. Hallelujah. Most of them are crazy. I've sat down and read things after people call themselves those theologians, and I wonder anymore if they ever read the Bible. I mean, people today love... I've sat down and read commentaries that have been recommended to me by Christians and ministers. When I sit down and read them, and I think, dear God, didn't these people ever read these things? What these people are saying? And get the Scriptures out and say, this is what the Scripture says, and this guy's in here talking this stuff, and they're saying, you ought to read that. I say, dear Lord, do these people... See, people follow people. You know, you people are a bunch of idiots. You follow Jesus. Didn't they tell you? Didn't they tell you there was something? Aha! Didn't you read the latest book? You follow Jesus. Hallelujah. What a ridiculous bunch of people. Hallelujah. Let's keep following Jesus. Hallelujah. You started with Him. Let's finish with Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's the end of our race.
Amen.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Folks, we're not far from the finish line of faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're not far from the finish line of full redemption. Hallelujah. Just like Jesus. Woo! Just like Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, look at Him wearing the same suit that He wears.
Amen.
Looking on the One who has saved us, the One who redeemed us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Boy, that makes me happy to talk about this. Hallelujah, it makes me happy. Hallelujah, what a future. Glory to God. What could they do to us here?
Amen.
Send us to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we're just so thankful, Lord God, of Your great love for us. Oh, and how much You did love us, You sent Jesus. How much You love humanity. How much You love people. Hallelujah. Lord God, You provided us a way of salvation that could have never been provided in any other manner or any other way. And I just want to thank You, Father. I thank You that this wonderful gospel was preached to us by Someone who loved Jesus. Somebody who cared about our condition. And I just thank you for that. I thank you that somebody cared about our condition enough to tell us about Jesus. Oh, and what a Savior He is. What a Savior. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're in this time, people, when people are celebrating really such an important event in the history of the church. There's no better history than this. Hallelujah. The death, burial, and resurrection of our Master. Hallelujah. That we would pass from death unto life by believing on Him. Lord, that is a ridiculous thing. I can't think about it in my mind how that makes any sense, because I just believed on Him. That I got to be. I got to have what He has. I got to be what He is. Lord, that God would come and live in me because of it. Lord, it's hard for me to grasp that, but you know, I'm just a fool for the Word.
Hallelujah.
I believe it's true. And Lord God, now, Lord God, I have the witness of the Spirit in me that it's true. God, it don't get any better than that. Hallelujah. I know that I passed from death unto life. And Lord God, we know today. And Father, we just want to say thank you. I thank you for our Master. Lord God, that the things we looked in the Scripture that He fulfilled, Lord God, in that day, just a week before, He was going to suffer horrible judgment, our judgment upon Himself. Yet He willingly fulfilled and carried these things out for our sake. Oh, Lord God. What love. What love for humanity. And I just want to, Lord God, I'm just so thankful, Lord God. Lord, I know there's a day coming when all the church is going to be together in heaven. And Lord God, we'll all be like Jesus in full redemption. But Lord, I think there's going to be a light of revelation that's going to come to us of the glory that's in Jesus Christ. Oh, there's so much to see and to know, Lord God. If Paul said we just know in part and aside, surely what is there to know on the other side? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we thank you. Father, I pray for boldness to speak the Word of God. And Lord God, I ask you to reach forth your hand in the name of Jesus to heal, that signs and wonders would be done in the glorious name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That name would be exalted. Hallelujah. Lord, that name would be above every name. Hallelujah. That the church would look to no other. That our vision would be only unto Him and His ability to carry out. Father, in this last days, that His glory would be so poured out. Father, God, hallelujah. Lord God, I'm willing to be the donkey. Hallelujah. I'm willing to be the donkey for my Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God, He's the one that carried our burden. Hallelujah. But Lord God, how, Lord God, wonderful it is we get to carry His on the side of glory. That we get to carry, hallelujah, the weight of His ministry, Lord God, and His glory. Oh, Lord God, through the resurrection. Father, how wonderful it is. Lord God, Lord God, it may seem to many as a burden, but it's a weight of glory. Hallelujah. It's a weight of glory that's on us. Hallelujah. Father God, and I thank you that glory that is worked in us is working in us to the out of us. Hallelujah. To our outside, that glory will be revealed. Hallelujah. That many will come and call on that wonderful name. That many will see in this day and time. Hallelujah. There is a wonderful Savior. Hallelujah. Father, we're keeping our eye turned. As John said, that those who have this hope, they purify themselves. Lord God, we set ourselves to get ready. Just as Jesus cleansed the temple, it's for us to cleanse our own temple. Amen. And Lord God, we keep ourselves. And Lord God, give us wisdom and understanding of what to do. To walk in the light, Lord God. To stay clean before you, Lord God. So we're used as vessels of honor that glorify Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.